This is Radio MD COVID-19 Daily, your source for COVID-19 news from the front lines of healthcare. I'm Caitlin White. It's another lovely Thursday in quarantine, May 7th. Later in our episode, hear from an ER doctor about mental health and burnout issues facing those departments, even before COVID-19 wrapped up activity. And now for our news. Meat plants in a handful of states are slowing down production or temporarily shutting down as the coronavirus pandemic impacts workforces across the globe. Some fast food chains are scaling back on hamburgers in an effort to curb the shortages. With more on meat shortages, we go to Radio MD's Bill Klaproth.
Hundreds of Wendy's fast food locations aren't serving hamburgers, and grocery stores are limiting meat purchases as shoppers begin to feel the impact of meatpacking plant shutdowns. Pork and beef prices could also increase by as much as 20% compared to 2019, according to a new report from CoBank, a cooperative bank that is part of the Farm Credit System. Still, grocery executives say the shortages are only temporary and that most meat remains available even if certain products have become more scarce. And in some states, major meatpacking facilities have reopened. For Radio MD News, I'm Bill Klaproth.
Well, if you can't find any meat where you are, there's always seafood. And it seems like many Americans were already making that shift before meat shortages were in the news. According to the New York Times, retail seafood sales have set records, and consumers are even trying species that restaurants shy away from. Year-over-year, sales of both canned and frozen seafood were around 30% higher this April. And if you're someone with a bit of morbid curiosity like me, the Times also has an article out today on what coronavirus feels like. Sure, we all know the symptoms by heart at this point, but these are firsthand accounts from people who have recovered from the illness. Not for the faint of heart, but interesting nonetheless. A link to that is in our show notes. News of an ER doctor in Manhattan dying by suicide last week is giving light to another side effect of this pandemic, the mental health effects on frontline medical workers. I recently got on the phone with Dr. Lee Vinoker, a board-certified emergency physician and spokesperson for the American College of Emergency Physicians, to talk about the mental strain and burnout of working in the ER. Tell us about how COVID-19 is affecting ER doctors and frontline workers, both mentally and emotionally.
Well, you know, physicians and healthcare workers in general have a much higher risk of suicide, anxiety, and depression. And ER physicians in particular probably have one of the highest rates also related to burnout that a lot of people are seeing in healthcare. And I think, you know, what's happening, you know, as ER physicians, it's a very high stress profession compared to other settings. I mean, even during non-COVID times, we have people lining up in the hallways, waiting for beds in the hospital, waiting for transfers to psychiatric hospitals, boarding patients overnight. And I think, you know, my colleagues have done such a good job of trying to keep it together, but it takes the toll on you. And now add something like COVID-19, where we're seeing a scale of death and dying that we've never seen before in the United States. I mean, ER doctors do see a lot of death and dying compared to a lot of other specialties, but the scale that we're seeing with COVID-19 is unbelievable. And physicians are at high risk because they have, you know, no lifeline. And if you add in this era of COVID-19, a lot of healthcare workers are now isolating themselves from their families because they're worried about bringing it home. So now they've lost their support systems when they finish their shift. So it's the perfect recipe for something disastrous like suicide. And it's really sad, and it's something that in medicine in general, even before COVID-19, we never talked about mental health with respect to the medical profession. And about one physician every day commits suicide around the country. And this was before the issue of COVID-19. So I'm sure that after, you know, we get through part of this pandemic, there's going to be lasting effects on our frontline healthcare workers dealing with this. And we need to prepare to take care of them some way.
Well, that leads me into my next question. In your opinion, what would you like to see in terms of emotional support for ER doctors?
Well, I think the reason that it's kind of like this quiet secret and we don't think about physicians and suicide and mental health at all is because there's a stigma and a prejudice to it. I mean, mental health questions are part of medical licensing applications. Like, do you have a condition that impairs your ability to practice medicine safely? So I think physicians are afraid to come out and admit that. So we need to encourage non-punitive, 100% confidential mental health care for our health care providers, physicians and nurses on the front line. We need to think that they're working in a hazardous condition. Certainly, I know the American College of Emergency Physicians is supporting hazard pay to help deal with this problem for our all frontline workers. And we support physicians, nurses, but also, you know, the people that are in our hospital, custodial staff and cafeteria workers and all the other people that are keeping our hospital going during this crisis, that are putting their own lives at risk and that are seeing death and dying all around them. So I think, you know, it was an issue before COVID-19, and it was something that doctors specifically were afraid to talk about because of the repercussions to their career and their licensing. But it's a very real serious issue that we can't hide anymore, and we need to really bring it out in the open, and it needs to be in a very non-punitive, non-judgmental way, because it's tough. And it starts all the way down to medical students. I mean, they're at higher risk for people their age compared to, you know, the suicide rate for young medical students, or even, you know, residents training is higher than cohorts their age. It's important. There's only, you know, so much abuse you can take in medical school residency. And schools need to address this and make strides to talk about it. Residency programs need to address this, because there's going to be a shortage of doctors too, because it's hard and it's hard work. And then certain specialties like emergency medicine, where, you know, we've been fighting system issues and backups and surge problems even before this big pandemic started. And now it's only magnified this problem.
Dr. Van Oker, thank you so much for joining us once again and keeping us informed about what's going on in our ERs and hospitals. And for listeners, don't forget to support the hospital staff near you. This has been another episode of Radio MD COVID-19 Daily. Tell us about quarantine where you are, or send your thoughts on the show to COVID19Daily@RadioMD.com. That's COVID19Daily@RadioMD.com. Or if you have a moment, we would be grateful for you leaving a rating or review on Apple Podcasts to help us out. Have a happy Thursday, and we'll see you again Friday afternoon. I'm Caitlin White. Stay home and stay healthy.